Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring, boring, boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball is
baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring.
Pitch and Moan, Episode 9. I am your host, Courtney Finicum. And I have a special White Sox guest with me today, Josh Nelson, Sox Machine. How are you?
I'm doing well, Courtney. And it's amazing on how quickly the rest of the baseball world is ready to pick up and get ready for the 2025 season. Courtney, the World Series is barely done, and we've already got some significant trades and significant hires.
I mean, I'm actually really excited for this because I don't know if you get this way when baseball season officially ends, but it's like a sense of dread that comes over to me. When that last out is made in the World Series, I'm like, geez, you know, now we have 5 months of what? 4 or 5 months of what now? You know, like, obviously we have the hot stove and the GM meetings coming up and everything. So the fact that we've kind of kicked it off, not even 24 hours after the last out was made, I'm kind of excited for the offseason now. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, there's two periods of the offseason that I dread the most. It's the week around Thanksgiving. Even though there's a lot of conversations going, there's hardly any movement. Everything seems to be pretty quiet until you get to the winter meetings. Then everything could ramp up. And I say could. We didn't see that a lot of activity last year in Nashville attending those winter meetings. But Courtney, the middle of January into spring training could just be a drag sometimes. You know, you're 30 days away before pitchers and catchers report and you get back to the full swing of things. But it's like whoever's left on the clearance aisle, go ahead and sign your minor league contracts, your 1 year guaranteed major league deals, because everyone's looking for a discount as far as GMs out there and it teams to fill out the rest of the roster. Those are the two periods that I'm most concerned about. So this time what I did, Courtney, my wife and I have decided to take a 2 week vacation to take care of at least one part of the offseason that I dread the most.
Now, where are we going? Where are we going on our vacation?
We're doing a Mediterranean cruise, but with the flooding for those worried about the timing of this episode, there are terrible floods right now in southern Spain. So a couple of the ports that we were hoping to stop at, we'll see if we still can. But yeah, through Spain, we start in Lisbon, Portugal, and we end in Rome, Italy. My 40th birthday, we'll be in Nice, France. So for anyone listening to this podcast, if you have any recommendations for me, I'm all ears because these are all brand new cities that I will be visiting for the first time.
Well, and on that same note, what is your Twitter handle in case anyone does have amazing recommendations for you or just wants to yell at you about the White Sox?
Or anything in baseball, I guess. At @SoxMachine_Josh. That's where you can follow me on Twitter. Pretty active over there.
You are definitely active. And that's why I really wanted to have this podcast with you is, you know, I do this podcast with Johnny Gomes and he's got insights that is fantastic as a former player, and he's played on a lot of different teams, but never the Chicago White Sox. And we always kind of joke around about that a little bit. He always, you know, gives me crap about the cluster of the organization that the White Sox are. And I've always had that reputation. But for this particular podcast, I really wanted somebody that was in tune with what was going on with the team, has actually an opinion on what's going on with the team. And I figured, I love your work with Sox Machine. You guys do a great job over there.
You're
absolutely, you're welcome. And I figure that what better way to kick off the offseason with our brand new managerial hire, Josh, in Will Venable, and what your immediate thoughts were on that hire.
My immediate thoughts that I'm going to steal, I'm borrowing this phrase / stealing this from Tom Fornelli. He's also a White Sox fan,
yes. And
he writes for CBS Sports or College Football. But whenever there's a college football hiring, it's ever blank coach is a great hire for blank school. I have no idea if it's going to work out. Will Venable is a great hire for the Chicago White Sox, Courtney. I have no idea if it's going to work out. And in his introduction Zoom call, because the timing's kind of weird. You can't have a full-blown press conference and introduce Will to Chicago media because everyone's packing up and heading to Scottsdale, Arizona for the GM meetings. Right. So the White Sox are going to postpone that, I believe, to next Friday, November 8th, is when Will Venable will be formally introduced to Chicago media, and they'll have the jersey and he'll be in front of all the cameras at 35th and Shields at Guaranteed Rate Field for the White Sox to make that introduction. I think that is what I heard through the grapevine and when that's going to be happening. So Venable today had a Zoom press conference to speak to the beat reporters. And it sounds like we all found out at the same time a couple days ago when Venable was rumored to be the next guy for the White Sox. We all worked so hard to verify that information. And side note, Scott Merkin, I know you are listening to this podcast episode. I hope Indiana beats Michigan in football 62-7, you jerk.
We're breaking the story first.
But back to your question regarding Venable, he thinks this is a great opportunity. I think anyone that's involved with the White Sox would be like, let's be careful with the word great. It is, I think, a great opportunity for Venable. Personally, he turned down permissions to interview for the Cleveland Guardians and the New York Mets jobs last year because he was very comfortable in Texas, especially on the heels of winning the 2023 World Series. But naturally, Courtney, it raises questions of how did you not even talk to those teams a year later, after you were so comfortable staying with the Rangers, now you're taking over the White Sox job after a 121 loss season? Like, what changed in Texas? And is this really a great opportunity? Like, what is the kind of immediate difference making decisions that you can provide to Chris Getz and the players, whoever that's going to be in the clubhouse, to not be a national embarrassment like they were in 2024. So there's a lot of questions that Venable is going to have to answer, but everyone that I speak to that has worked with Venable or has interacted with Venable, first thing that people say, he's incredibly smart. He's very sharp. He's worked for very sharp baseball organizations as well, especially forward thinking organizations when it comes to analytics. And he is going to be a breath of fresh air for the White Sox. And this is just a continuance of Chris Getz, Courtney, trying to dismantle whatever was the White Sox way under Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams. This is another new face, someone who has no prior relations or working with the White Sox, joining the organization. And I think we could all agree we're all for that.
And there's a couple of points that you made that I do want to touch on that have been my concerns as well. That being the fact that for all intents and purposes, you know, the Mets and the Guardians have a reputation for being a little bit of a better organization than the White Sox, right? Certainly. So what made Will Venable turn those potential gigs down? That is a concern for me too, especially when he had that job with the Rangers. You know, Bruce Bochy's not going to be doing this forever, right? So why didn't he try to stick around with the Rangers to see if he was the next in line when Bochy decides to officially hang it up? I feel like these are the questions that need to be asked, answered, because there's a lot of question marks here. You know, he, during his Zoom, kind of was vague with what his thought process is with joining the White Sox, which I understand. But obviously, he is familiar with Chicago. He coached here. He knows the city. But that to me, that raises some red flags. Is this really a good opportunity? I don't know. With that being said, though, his pedigree, like you said, on paper is tremendous. He has worked under, you know, Theo Epstein. Let's not forget that he worked under Theo Epstein for a year. That's impressive. Joe Maddon, you know, Bruce Bochy, obviously. These are big names. And he's a Princeton grad. I kind of like that part of it. You know, smart, smart guy. So I think there's a lot of pros and cons here, but as your final point, not at all affiliated with anything having to do with the White Sox. And I think that is going to be just a breath of fresh air in general.
Yes. And speaking of that front office experience, that was really smart of you, Courtney, to point out, because for Chris Getz and trying to convince Jerry Reinsdorf, who, listen, we can put in a lot of blame of Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams for not really embracing the forward thinking that has been going on for Major League Baseball in the last decade. But it also falls on the shoulders of Jerry Reinsdorf, who also didn't believe in it, and more importantly, didn't want to invest in it. But absolutely, after everything that has collapsed for the White Sox, he's really left with no choice. Like, we do need to catch up with everybody else. And Chris Getz, along with Brian Bannister and Josh Barfield, I think have done a good enough job so far to convince Jerry Reinsdorf that this is the right direction that you should be going down. And with Venable joining the White Sox organization and having that front office experience, I think that Venable could help with Getz and some of the communication and talking points that Bannister and Barfield, what they're seeing from the research and development team, and try to bring into the White Sox clubhouse. That has been a sticking point too in the past for the White Sox, especially under Pedro Grifol, who didn't have that extensive experience, I should say, with Kansas City, and didn't really bring that to the fold to the White Sox. Well, now you do. Now you have someone that has had that experience, knows what the data means, and be able to translate it to the players in the clubhouse. This is going to be a new feeling for the White Sox clubhouse.
I love that point. That is an excellent point, Josh. And I also feel like this move was, and this hire, I should say, was so out of the typical White Sox box. And you know what, yeah, is, right? Like, I've had so many conversations about this, and I know you have too. You know, I actually said to people, if we hire Phil Nevin, that is going to be Tony La Russa / Jerry Reinsdorf. If we go outside the box and do Will Venable, that almost feels like Chris Getz taking a little bit of control of the organization. And I do want to throw back to the analytics part, because I do think that's important. One of the silver linings to this historic 121 loss season was that we had a lot of national media outlets kind of calling out Jerry Reinsdorf and the White Sox. And that was actually something that I embraced as a positive, because now I almost feel, to your point, Jerry has been forced now to kind of catch up with the rest of the league. And I feel like this Will Venable hire is the start in that direction.
Yes, I get the good news is on the pitching front, from what we have heard, especially with our beat reporter James Fegan over at Sox Machine and the many conversations he's had with Bannister, current White Sox pitching coach Ethan Katz, and White Sox pitchers, especially Garrett Crochet, is how much on the pitching side they've really put their arms around the data and really understand. And Johnny has mentioned this on the podcast as well, where it's like almost unfair for hitters these days. Just, it feels like pitchers are so much smarter than hitters because of the amount of data that they are getting. But understanding the adjustments that they can make to even their wrist grip, or this whole renaissance of seam shift wake on changeups.
Yep.
And it's like, did you take physics in college? Like, that's almost to the point of where we have to be to really understand and where pitchers are today and what the smart organizations are doing to manipulate the baseball itself when pitchers release it to the hitter. Like, this is why hitting is so hard. So
yep,
that's the positive. Brian Bannister's really put in a good place, and Ethan Katz has been a great partner, and the White Sox pitchers are picking it up. Here's the bad news. The White Sox are Star Wars light years away on the hitting side. And
I know
that is where the immediate impact needs to be for Will Venable, is what did you learn from good hitting organizations, the Cubs, the Red yes. Sox, especially the World Series champion Texas Rangers? What did you learn from them in pregame preparation that you can bring to the White Sox so the White Sox hitters look more prepared? Because that was the worst offense that we have ever seen in White Sox franchise history in 2024, and one of the worst in Major League Baseball history since the DH was introduced to the American League in 1972. Very scary numbers. And if we're going to see any type of immediate impact, Courtney, I think it's going to be on that front, where Will Venable and his coaching staff, especially on the hitting side, can they break through with these White Sox, especially young players / prospects, and get them to buy into this type of process and methods of understanding pregame planning, understanding what pitchers are coming at you with, their latest trends. Maybe they're hurt and they're not throwing 95 and 96 at you. Instead, it's 92 and 93. Just better preparation, because we watched so many games last year, Courtney, where it's like, did you guys even read the scouting report? Man, exactly. You're way off on timing and in strategy.
And those are absolutely excellent points. And I think one thing that really always stuck out to me is, you know, I had Pedro Grifol on this podcast, right? I had him on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast when he was hired. And I asked him questions that was concerns of this fan base, the fundamentals, the hitting, the defense, the clubhouse. You know, I asked him those direct questions and what his plans were. Now, in all fairness to Pedro, I do think he's a nice guy. I think he's a good guy. I will argue all day long that he was in over his head with this particular clubhouse and this organization, but he tried to really give me the answers that he thought sounded right at the time. Now, if you're Will Venable, and you have this press conference coming up in a week, what do you want to hear him say to improve this team? You already mentioned about the hitting and preparation. What else do you want to hear that's important?
So Venable actually did a podcast interview with a former player. It's called the Nine Hole Podcast. You can find it on YouTube. And the question that Venable was asked was, what would you change from your playing career with the knowledge that you know today from coaching? It's a fantastic question. And Venable had an immediate answer: velocity training, going to the velocity machine and making adjustments with my swing when I'm seeing 97, 98, or I'm seeing 90 to 91, and having multiple swings and making adjustments on the fly when these pitches are coming down to the zone, and that type of repetition to be better prepared for games and take the hitting drills far more serious. That's what perked my attention. Johnny could go more in depth in the benefits of hitting off of a tee and a soft toss and going in the cage and hitting off coach pitching. But the type of technology in these new pitching machines that are being introduced, where you can pull up a specific pitcher and that machine is going to spit out baseballs at you like that pitcher throws. Every White Sox hitter, even their prospects, needs to embrace this type of training. That's what I want to hear from Venable, is we're going to be introducing new technologies that we have not had, and we're going to put our hitters through this in spring training. We may be really bad in spring training. We may look worse in spring training than we did in the 2024 regular season, but I need fans and media to just be patient, because we're going through the rigors of this new hitting process to get our guys better prepared for what they could see in the regular season. If he says something like that, it tells me multiple things. One, he is focused, and he may have found something looking through the data on what was troubling White Sox hitters the most. Two, new technology. Jerry Reinsdorf is making investments into the baseball club. He may not be signing free agents, Courtney, but Chris Getz is getting his new Dominican Republic Academy, as the White Sox have a new international director.
Which is underrated and huge. Yes,
it is. We may not see the benefits, though, for 5 to 10 years, but it is big. The White Sox, just that's a resource that they have not had.
Yep.
But in the immediate future, if they continue to invest in this technology and into this new, their analytics department is now known as the research and development. That means that Jerry's is approving more investments into the minor leagues and into player development. And I think that could really help out the White Sox get out of this rut in the next 2 to 3 years, where guys that they are drafting are not scaring us, Courtney, when they get to Birmingham and they're hitting 215. Like, they're going to be better prepared, and they're going to embrace the modern age of hitting when it comes to baseball, so they don't look like a fish out of water when they're in the major leagues. Lenin Sosa is a great example, Courtney.
Yes, he is.
He goes to Charlotte, and he's hitting like 360, slugging 600. You see on Twitter, he's having multi-home run games. And he joins the White Sox, and it's like, this guy's not even a major leaguer. Now, he started hitting a little bit towards the end of the season, but He's been doing this on and off for like 3 years. Miguel Vargas, who the White Sox acquired in that Dodgers trade, is very similar as well. So that's what I really want to hear next week from Vargas, is how are you going to improve this White Sox offense? What is the game plan and strategy? And I think it is a good time because from what I understand, Venable is going to be joining Chris Getz at the GM meetings. And these are the types of conversations that the White Sox brass are going to have. So when they leave Scottsdale, Arizona, they have a game plan for the rest of the offseason to get ready for 2025 and beyond.
I actually really love that Venable is joining Getz at the GM meetings, because again, that tells me, you know, that he already has that front office experience and he's going to be all ears again, working with Chris Getz. I love the sound of that. I love that that's happening. And I hope that that, you know, is a sign of things to come within the organization, like you said. And another thing that always concerns me about this White Sox team, as we know, you know, and it goes back to maybe the technologies and the mindset and the development of these players, is we were dead last in defense for a reason in 2024. We could talk for hours about the absolutely amateur hour errors that were made on the field in 2024. To me, as we saw in this World Series with the New York Yankees of all teams, if you can't catch the ball, you're not going to be successful. So to me, I really also want to hear what his plans are to get the defense improved, because that has been an atrocious problem for a while. It certainly was this year. I need to know that that is going to finally be officially rectified in some way and what the plan is moving forward. That to me is huge.
Yeah, that's a great point, Courtney, because the White Sox defense has been awful. Let me bounce this to you. Is this a coaching issue or is this a talent issue for the White Sox? Do they not have the players who are just not going to be good defensively at all?
That is an excellent question, Josh, and it's something that I have gone back and forth on. I do believe, though, and this is such a vague answer. It's a vague answer, but I'm going to give it to you. I think it's a combination of both.
Yeah,
I really do. I think there's been guys that have had potential that the White Sox just have flat out ruined. And I also think that, you know, when you have a team full of guys that would not start on the rest of the major league teams, you know, that there's only so much you can do, right? So I think it's a combination of both, but something's got to work here. It's got to be the chicken or the egg thing. Something's got to be rectified, because this team will never succeed with this level of defense. Never. I don't care who they bring in.
Yeah, no, that is a good point. Like Benintendi, I just think there's no hope. Like Benintendi is what Benintendi is defensively. Brian Ramos and Brooks Baldwin, I think, have the athleticism that you can coach them up defensively and make them better. Have they broken Andrew Vaughn and Gavin Sheets? Not only do we know that they're not outfielders, Courtney, looking at the Baseball Savant data and their ability to play first base, woof. I know they're different heights, and different heights means one guy's got a shorter stature and shorter legs, and range is going to be a problem. That should not be an issue for Gavin Sheets, and their defensive metrics are bad because they can't move laterally. There's no lateral movement for either guy. One's 5'10" and the other's 6'5". Like, we could say the White Sox have two first basemen, but we could also make the argument the White Sox have no first basemen because they're not even good defensively there too. So that's, I'm with you that it is like a combination of both. Like, Brian Ramos and Brooks Baldwin, in my opinion, pointing those two guys out, should be good defenders. They have the tools, they have the athleticism, they have the arm strength to be average or better defensive players. Benintendi, lost cause. Vaughn and Sheets, are they lost causes? I'm not sure. What do you do with Miguel Vargas? Like, listen, hearing from the Dodgers, they kind of gave up defensively on Miguel Vargas and on what to do with him. So, you are right. It's really bad for defensively for the White Sox, but I don't know if that is something that Will Venable can fix or if that's just more roster churn for Chris Getz in the upcoming years of just like, I'm sorry, I have to send you out because we need guys that can at least play with the glove and you don't even do that.
It's so funny you mentioned Gavin Sheets. You know, Johnny and I have been on this podcast talking about Gavin Sheets before, and he always says to me, he goes, Courtney, explain Gavin Sheets to me. You look at this guy and he looks like such a ball player. I go, Johnny, it's a mystery. Nobody understands why this guy can't figure it out. You know, he goes, you look at him on paper, he should be hitting 25, 30 home runs a year and playing good defense. I go, I know it is a confusion and a question mark that I don't think you and I will ever figure out, at least on this podcast. So moving forward, now that we have Will Venable in place, obviously we don't know what his coaching staff looks like moving forward yet. Yeah. What do you want to see as far as, and I say this obviously tongue in cheek, free agent acquisitions this coming off season, potential trades, where do you see this team heading?
So some insight, again, from our beat reporter, James Feegan, the White Sox are going to be in the market again to sign a veteran catcher. The reason is that the White Sox want to buy more time for one of their top hitting prospects, Edgar Caro, which the White Sox acquired via trade from the Los Angeles Angels a couple of years ago. Caro had a very good 2024 season, but he missed the last 5 weeks of the season because of a back issue. So the White Sox would like to get a veteran catcher to pair up with Corey Lee, hopefully someone better than Martin Maldonado, or at least get hit better than Martin Maldonado. But that's going to be towards the cheaper scale. Think like 1 year, $3 to $4 million for that type of deal, Courtney. Yep.
I could see that.
Right field. I guess everyone in the beat that spoke to Chris Getz said, what does he want to address this offseason? Chris Getz, I guess, was very quick to point out right field. Courtney, how long have we been talking about the right field issues for the White Sox?
Since
Jermaine Dye left?
I brought this up at the 108 pre-opening day batch, right? I was excited for Fletcher. I thought, oh my God, we actually have a quintessential right fielder. Turns out we don't actually have a right fielder. But there has been a hole in right field, and I agree with you, since Jermaine Dye. And I'm sorry, back to talking about Gavin Sheets, these guys that are not supposed to be right fielders playing in right field, that needs to stop under Will Venable. That's a hot button.
I agree. And I hope he understands that as an ex-outfielder, a good defensive outfielder.
Good defensive outfielder.
I hope he understands that. Yeah, Dominic Fletcher can glove it. Like, Fletcher's a good defensive outfielder. He can't hit. And that maybe the White Sox can fix that. That could be one of Venable's projects. I think Fletcher deserves to maybe get a shot at the fourth outfielder spot on the White Sox roster to at least be on opening day. But Getz wants to address right field because, fun fact, using the metric wins above replacement WAR, only Adam Eaton in 2016 and Avisail Garcia in 2017 had the White Sox had someone that was above 2 WAR in right field.
Wow.
In the last 20 years.
I don't even think I've ever heard that stat. That is unbelievable, but it's also not unbelievable. It's totally believable.
Right. Like, that's how bad it is, folks, for White Sox fans, just watching someone trot out in right field. At this point, we're like, just give us someone like Daniel Polka. At least Polka can hit home runs.
He can, yes.
That was kind of fun for a season. But again, somebody... he just opted out of his contract with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Randall Grichuk. He just opted out of his contract with the Diamondbacks. Would he be interested? Because, I mean, it would be a guaranteed starting spot. With Arizona, he was a part-time player. So if he wants to play every day, well, Randall, the White Sox have that opportunity for you right field.
You know, it's so funny, not to cut you off about that, but it's funny when I saw that come out this morning, I thought that has potential to be a future White Sox.
Good. Because if he has a strong first half, you could always trade him like you did with Paul DeJong. So that could be a possibility. So catcher, right field, maybe someone up the middle, maybe someone like Kevin Newman, who could help provide a little bit more depth in the middle infield, just in case if somebody gets nicked up during spring training. Right now, your middle infield is looking like Jacob Amaya, who, again, strong defender, but maybe not that strong with the bat. Yeah. And Brooks Baldwin. Like, that's your starting middle infield for the White Sox entering the offseason right now, which may scare some people. So maybe someone like Kevin Newman, who's a veteran, that can help out in that type of role. And then there is the biggest question in the offseason. So if you do trade Garrett Crochet, how are you replacing those innings?
Exactly.
Because we do have some young starting pitchers, but Chris Flexen is also a free agent now, and he'll test free agent waters after his 2024 season with the White Sox. Do you need to go and see if you can win the lottery again? Because let's face it, the White Sox won the lottery with Eric Fetty. Like,
sure
that
did.
Deal crushed.
Yeah.
Like, great job, everyone involved. Gats, Bannister, I was super doubtful. Be like, Fetty was not good in the majors. Wow, he won the Cy Young and MVP in Korea. That's great, but that's Korea. And
yeah.
He pitched great for the White Sox. Really surprised me, and he was a bright spot for the 2024 White Sox. So do they do something like that again? And knowing that they're going to trade Crochet, but they need someone to at least eat up 150 innings for the 2024 season so they don't burn out their young starting pitchers. So to rehash, catcher, right field of the position player front, and maybe a starting pitcher or two, the White Sox will need to add on 1 to 2 year type of contracts.
You know who I really wanted the White Sox to grab? And I have mentioned this to Johnny. I have mentioned this
Juan Soto? I agree.
Say yes. That, in a perfect world, yes, Juan Soto. Who I really wanted last offseason, who I think would have made a great fit, and sure enough, he was on the team that he originally, or that he ended up signing with, Michael Wacha.
Yeah, he was.
You know what?
Yeah.
A veteran presence, a guy that can eat up innings, and sure enough, he goes to the Royals and does exactly what I thought he would do. Like, that to me is the kind of guys that I want to see the Sox going for during this quote-unquote rebuild situation. That's what I want. I want good, not question marks. I'm tired of question marks. I want good quality players coming in. Not superstars. We're never going to get superstars, but someone that is actually, you can actually sink your teeth into. That's what I like to see.
So I want to toss this idea out to you as a project. Clearly, Arizona is not happy with Jordan Montgomery.
Yep.
But we know when Montgomery's on a roll, he can get on a roll. With Venable now in the fold with the White Sox, can Getz convince Jerry Reinsdorf to at least take on a lot of that money, even though the White Sox don't want to spend a lot, but sell the idea to Reinsdorf that if Bannister can fix Jordan Montgomery and he has a strong first half, we could definitely move him and maybe get somebody a little bit more interesting, in which then really the only cost to us is $10 million. And let's face it, Jerry, you know, I know $10 million does not get you very far in today's free agent pitcher market.
No, it does not.
Could Bannister fix Montgomery to the point where Montgomery is back to his 2023 self? And then you could have an all-star, and maybe that's a solution, replacing Crochet, knowing that if Montgomery pitches well enough, you trade him before end of July.
I actually love that idea, and I love it for a couple reasons. One being, I think, and clearly Jordan Montgomery feels the same way I do, but Montgomery got screwed in the offseason by his own agent.
He did.
And that cost him spring training. That cost him a proper ramp-up period that pitchers need. And I really believe that screwed Jordan Montgomery. I think that messed up his entire season. That's why he was, very shaky at times. I think if he gets a proper spring training under his belt again, I think if he can get healthy, if he feels good, I think he's a steal, 100%. I am all for Jordan Montgomery. Absolutely. I think that would be a very good move.
It's a financial question for the White Sox, because it's more than $20 million, right, for Jordan Montgomery with that contract. This is where podcasting gets great, folks, in which we buy time and we keep talking as we search Jordan Montgomery's contract. So $22.5 million that Montgomery is owed, and he does have some vesting options, and he can opt out of 2025 with 10 starts in 2024, which he made, but I don't think he's going to opt out of his contract. We'll see. That's interesting, because I think he did make 10 starts in 2024, and your producer may have to fact check with you. maybe Montgomery opts out before mid-November, but if he doesn't, because he doesn't think that he'll make more than $22.5 million in the open market, Courtney, then again, if I'm Chris Getz, I think I'm having that conversation with Jerry. Like, if Brian Bannister could fix him, we have another valuable trade asset before into July. And if Montgomery's ready to go, we know that he could take the ball and give us six innings every fifth day. And that is becoming a very costly tag in offseason for free agent pitching, where teams are just spending a ridiculous amount of money right now, hoping that pitchers can stay healthy and take the ball every fifth day, which we all know is an incredible risk.
Incredible risk. And there's quite a few interesting free agent names out there that I will be curious where they land that are on the bubble of being huge risks. I think Sean Manaea, who I wanted on the Sox 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, that's
Valpo
that's
guy.
You know, that's a guy that's going to be a risk for a team. You know, that this is his only really strong year. And I think there's probably going to be a team that overpays for him. And he's, you know, in his 30s now. So there's some interesting names out there. But the Jordan Montgomery one, I'm intrigued by, because I do think he got screwed by his agents. I really do. I think he screwed him. So I'd like to see him bounce back. Love to see him bounce back with the Sox. Before we finish up here today, Josh, I did want to ask you one more question, because I have noticed that you curiously left off this name when you were talking about potential White Sox starters, Colson Montgomery. What is going on with our friend Colson Montgomery? He has terrified people on White Sox Twitter that he's going to be that he's going to be this hideous bust. What are your thoughts moving forward on Colson?
So he got challenged definitely in AAA. And what he noticed and the White Sox noticed was Montgomery had one swing. And that one swing only worked if pitches were located in the middle part of the zone. That's not going to work. And he got beat up. And something that he was working on in the Arizona Fall League was make some swing adjustments. He had a tremendous Arizona Fall League, small sample size.
Yep.
But he is understanding that you need more tools in the toolkit when you're at the plate. So this is a great example of how bringing somebody like Will Venable, more focused hitting development program for the White Sox, can make sure that Colson Montgomery does pan out and what people are expecting. Now, the issue, Colson Montgomery is now 6'4", 230, and he is getting bigger. Because again, the White Sox drafted him as a 19-year-old high school kid out of Indiana.
Yeah.
And if he actually went to the University of Indiana, I think he would have been draft eligible last year. So he's well ahead of the pace if he went to college. So he's closer to the majors than he would have been drafted out of high school than if he actually went to college. But 6'4", 230, is that too big as a shortstop?
Yeah.
And do you need to move him to third base, or is he someone that you try out in right field? Because I love Montgomery's athleticism. I think he's got great lateral movement. He could obviously, as an ex-basketball player, he had a walk-on opportunity at Indiana Big Ten school. He's got great leaping ability. I think he has a good arm. I don't think he's got a great outfield arm. But that's something that we're all going to be paying attention to at spring training with his offseason workout regimen. How big is Colson Montgomery going to get? Because you don't see shortstops at that type of size. And if it impacts his lateral movement, you will have to move Montgomery over to third base or to the outfield. So there's still some more questions. But hitting-wise, he's making the adjustments, and I'm excited to see what he could do in 2025.
And here we go again. My nightmare continues with playing guys in the outfield that don't technically belong in the outfield. But to your point, you do make good points about his height, about his weight, you know, his bat. That's a very interesting point about his basketball background, you know, and how that fits with the outfield potentially. But to me, and again, I don't know where Miguel Vargas fits in this at all right now, but third base should be between Brian Ramos and Colson Montgomery right now. Let's see what these two guys have, and let's go from there.
That's totally fair.
Yeah, I think to me, we saw flashes of Ramos being very, very good. You know, he was one of the few highlights, certainly in 2024. So again, to your point, I am excited to see how Colson kind of grows in this off season and where we're at as far as February and spring training goes. But
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of question marks, but moving forward, I am excited by the Venable hire. I will look forward to seeing how the staff kind of completes itself. And from what I'm hearing, Will seems to have allegedly carte blanche of how his coaches are going to go. Have you heard the same?
Yeah, this is the part where I don't know. A lot of White Sox fans have been asking, so who's coming back at the coaching staff? And yeah, honestly, I don't know, which is interesting because in past hires, it's like, oh, this guy is – Pedro Grifol has to take on Ethan Katz. Rick Renteria has to take on Don Cooper. I'm with you, Courtney. That may not be the case for Will Venable. So we're all kind of now sitting on our hands waiting to see what comes out of the GM meetings and what direction the White Sox take with the rest of their coaching staff. It could be a lot of people returning. It could be a lot of new faces. So that's going to be the next step here for the White Sox in their clubhouse remodel and remake, is who's going to be on this coaching staff.
Well, it'll be a fun off season. Well, I don't know if it'll be a fun off season, but it will
be an active
off season. it will be an off season that will happen. Let's just put it that way. But Josh, again, I appreciate your time. You do great work with Sox Machine. I love that entire outfit over there. You guys are great.
Thanks
for coming in and pitching a moaning about the Sox with me. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. Love this podcast. You and Johnny do a great job. Everyone, if you're listening to this first time, make sure to subscribe to the show. It's a great one.
You're awesome, Josh. Thanks again.